Well, it's good to see you all today. Good morning. Yeah. It's really been a privilege here to come and speak to you today. David was very gracious to invite us, made us all feel very welcome. Jennifer and I have found this to be quite a home. And I love the men's Bible study and all the other things that we've been doing. It's been really good for us. So thank you for being able to sustain this place and keep it going in such faith and vigor. This morning our text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you for your tender heart, your gentle arms. We ask that you would meet our needs, and may we have the courage to open our hearts to you and have your grace poured within and your spirit inflame us for your service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to focus on verse 7 of that passage. It's in your bulletin and you can look at the words there, where Paul says, "We live by faith, not by sight." It's really quite an historic passage, the whole text itself. You'll find it in our Book of Common Prayer in the services for the dead, especially those moments of transition from the terminal illness that we may face, the grave fears we may have as we approach those dying moments. And hear these words in this text lift us up and know that immediately we're in the presence of the Lord. The verse I want to look at, though, is a parenthesis. It's somewhat apart from the main theme of what Paul is saying. And it's one of those diamonds that are scattered throughout the Pauline writings. He'll be saying this one thing, and you're caught up with what he has to say. And then all of a sudden, he goes off in this other direction. We live by faith, not by sight. And the first thing that comes to your mind, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, is his introduction to the faith. For he was struck blind on the road to Damascus. He had permission. He had arrest warrants. He was going to Damascus to persecute the church. He had already been present at the death of Stephen, the stoning, how cruel, of this great man, the first martyr for our faith. And here is Paul with others, rushing enthusiastically, ready to capture us, your friends, in Damascus. It's not by sight. He was blinded. And Jesus came to him. No one else could hear this going on. And talk with him. "Why are you doing this to me? Who are you, Lord?" he says. And he says, "I am the man you're persecuting." Paul went off to Damascus. The people with him, the soldiers, didn't know what was going on, and they took him to Damascus. He couldn't see. He was without bread and food for 3 days. In that same city. Can you capture that moment? This small little city. Here is someone coming. You know he's on his way. And here is this humble disciple, Ananias. There's another Ananias earlier. We won't talk about him and his wife, Sapphira. But here is another Ananias, common name. The Lord comes to him in a vision. And he says to Ananias, "Go and meet with Saul of Tarsus." His name was then changed to Paul, but at that time it was Saul. And Ananias says, "Lord, you know, yeah, right, I'll be glad to do that." He didn't know. But then, it's not by sight, it's faith. And Ananias, with trembling heart, went to Saul and brought him into the church. What was going on in those moments? You know, here's this man struck blind, persecuting, then 3 days thinking, praying, whatever, and Ananias comes, one of the people that he's going to persecute, and brings him into the church. If we ever hesitate to wonder as to whether our sins are forgiven? Here's Saul murdering. Many of us will be glad to take punishment ourselves. How many of us will sacrifice? But we're incensed if someone else should be harmed. And here are the disciples of Jesus being murdered by this man. That in the infinite wisdom of God, that we can, who can fathom this? Who would have thought to bring a persecutor and make him one of the chief apostles in his church? Those were the words that came to Ananias. He will be my messenger to kings and to others. And so it was. Where is our faith? Where's the step we need to take today? Here's the infinite wisdom of God. Here's his compassion for us struggling sinners, taking in murderers and restoring them. It's not by sight. Ananias trembled. Would we have his courage, even with the direct assurance of God? Because you see, again, in those moments, we see something very critical to our faith. We know what Jesus wanted. He made it clear to Ananias. But we're not robots. We're thinking people. And he honored Ananias' complaint. Lord, listen to me. And the Lord listened. Still in awe, he said, go. The question for us, the question for Ananias, I have a choice here. But he went. So it's not by sight. It is faith. We live by faith. And here again, Ananias is a tremendous example of what this is. But we can go on. Look at Doubting Thomas. We know him, one of the apostles. After the resurrection, he was out for some errand in the upper room in Jerusalem. This goes back a little bit in time. And the other disciples were all, we saw him, we saw the Lord, we saw him. And who wonders what goes through Thomas's mind? Yeah, nice dream, you know, you're hallucinating, you know, you need to see a doctor or something like that, you know, something of some sort. What would you be thinking? It defies all the facts. Everybody we know up to that time, when they die, we grieve, we cry, we go to the grave. And even though Jesus said he was coming back, very few people ever really knew what that meant until it happened. So, you know, many of us would probably be on Thomas's side. Well, let me see the evidence. I'm from Missouri. Actually, I'm from Pennsylvania. But there's Thomas, and so our Lord comes. And I just get caught up with all these little scenes because what again was Thomas feeling? Shame? We know what he said. No, Lord, no, I will not touch your hands. I will not touch your side. No. And Jesus tenderly, the words at least, convey a sense of invitation. Thomas, touch me. Here. Here I am. And Thomas kneeled. What faith? I want to see the evidence, is what he says. That's what he said earlier. And having seen it, he was struck with faith and believed. But then, as we look at the life of faith, what is it like? There's these dramatic moments, Ananias, vision. There is these doubting moments where we want to see the evidence, and well we should, and well we might. And in his graciousness, he presents it to us. But then there's John, the Apostle John, the disciple that Jesus loved. And so many of us have come up in the church, and we bring our young ones to Sky Camp and to our Sunday school, and we pray for them, we baptize them, and we invite them, and they grow up in the faith, and you have grown up in the faith, like John. Never really, these dramatic things, no, none of that. Never really, fortunately, never abandoned to a life of sin and coming back from it. Always faithful, always trusting. always loving. And so here is John, the great apostle, age 90. His words in the gospel touch us deeply. I always like to recommend that people read the Gospel of John, especially ladies, because you see much more into the heart of what Jesus is about when you read those words. How approachable he is, how open he is, how tender he is. So here is faith, sometimes dramatic. Sometimes we need the evidence. Many times for us, a quiet journey of faith. I'd like to give you a little story. You're going to have to excuse me. I'm a grandfather. My wife and I have four grandchildren. The men in the Bible study are kind of like, they glaze over. I start talking about my grandchildren. But this one is about Emma. And you'll have to forgive me because she's my world. I have four grandchildren, but she's my world. Little Emma. And she's two. And I hope she stays two forever. She'll be 22 some days and older. We were at the shore, up on the New Jersey shore. And I'll make this short and bring it so it's an illustration and not just the long soliloquy about me and my grandchildren. But we were at this beach. There was a bay. The ocean was on the other side. And I wanted to take her to see the water, the bay water. So, little side story. Emma's a very determined child. And that's great. You want a determined child. So I was helping her with her shoes one day. And she says, "No, Emma do, Emma do." And I said, well, and then we tried that a few times. Emma do, very nice, but Emma do. So Pop-Up has to let Emma do. So here we are at the beach. Now remember the determination. So, do you want to come into the water? So she stands on the dry sand, and I'm standing down here with my feet getting wet. Come on down. Boat, water. A little closer, looks at me. A little closer. What's that over there? It's moving. I'm not sure about this. And I move up a little bit. You know, we can trick them a little bit. So I move back a little bit. She looks at me, a little closer, feet wet. Water, water. Then she sits down in it. She doesn't have her bathing suit on. Can you see our faith? We're insecure. We're invited in. We know best. Dry sand. This is better. That's not good. I don't know what that is. Our Father in heaven invites us. He knows. He knows more about the water. He knows there's nettles behind him. He knows there's an ocean behind us. But he invites us in. What step is he asking you to take? What is the water in your life? Where do you need to step forward, trusting that he is larger, infinite in wisdom and compassion? And just take that one step. That's all. One step. Water! What an invitation to joy, to the eternal dwelling that we'll have in heaven. I invite you, Jesus invites you, that we take that step. We embrace them in faith, not by sight. What an invitation. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for these words. May we be faithful to them. May they find a fertile place in our heart, we pray in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.